This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. For more information, go to FUBARradio.com.
Callum McSwiggan on FUBAR Radio. FUBAR Radio presents Harriet Rose,
Alakai Harley. Welcome back to FUBAR Radio.
Hey. For me, the only thing is that, you know, with the whole female thing, I don't want it to be like, oh, and my gosh, girl power. That is what it is, but we don't have to like really say just like smother it all over there because then it becomes cheesy. Yeah. So I want it to be like, forget the gender for a second, make it an amazing, it's a hit. So, and it's a hit because it's a hit, not because we're girls.
But that is really interesting what you've just said, because I call myself a female DJ because it's putting me in a niche that is beneficial for me. But it's interesting that you don't want to use that niche because you're like, nah, we're just good quality performers and artists.
Every Thursday from 4 p.m. on FUBAR Radio.
The Callum McSwiggan Show. That was Dreamland, Pet Shop Boys, and Years and Years. I have had that song on repeat all day long. Queer Legends collaborating with Queer Legends. Today I'm joined in the studio by the gorgeous, the beautiful, the brightly pink haired. It's Ruby Rare. How are you doing?
Babes. I'm good. How are you doing?
Really, really good. It's great to have you here. You're like a sunbeam in my life right now. A very needed sunbeam.
If sunbeams were pink, then this is what I would be.
If sunbeams were pink, indeed. Let's talk about everything that you are doing. You are a sex educator. You do talks. You run events. Tell me about everything that you do.
I'm a busy girl.
You are a busy girl.
Yeah. I basically talk about sex to anyone who will listen. And I do that in a variety of different forms. So I work for an amazing charity called Brook, where I do sex education with young people. And I'm working a lot with period poverty right now.
Yeah.
But then outside of that, I run a monthly talk at the book club. And that is about loads and loads of different topics. It's basically all the stuff that I enjoy talking about, and I have an audience who will let me wang on about it for an hour. So I've done like non-monogamy, sex toys, a talk about how to be a slut, and the next one that's coming up is my guide to porn, which I'm so excited about because porn is hands down my favourite thing to talk about.
And that's coming up, that's next Thursday?
Next Thursday, yeah.
That is very exciting. And I mean, I guess what, you know, I love about everything that you're doing is that you're not just talking about like sex as a very, you know, man, woman, missionary thing. You're actually talking about the other things that go along with it. Like you said, you talk about period poverty, I think you said,
yep.
Talking about sex toys, talking about polyamory, etc. I think these are the things that we don't get to hear about as much. And I think that's very, very important.
Yeah, even though like sex ed and sex positivity and body positivity, all of it's becoming so much more of like a buzzword and well spoken about. But I do find that it continues to be spoken about in a really normative way. And I'm all about finding the less spoken about, but no less usual or normal or lovely things. So I talk about solo sex, which is the word I use for masturbation, because if you elevate the language, like solo sex versus partnered sex, suddenly they're equals. It's not like one shameful thing that's a replacement for the other. I know. I actually didn't coin that. I have to. That's
damn.
A disclaimer. I wish I could. It was someone long before my time.
I would have let you have that. I would have fully let you have that.
I would have loved that, Callum, but that would have been not
dishonest.
Yeah. And also, because I come from a queer perspective, I'm like happily bisexual, and then that kind of can fit into non-monogamous structures really well. For me, it does. I get a lot of messages on Instagram from so many people who are kind of questioning their sexuality and really grappling with queer spaces and the worry of like feeling queer enough, like worrying that they are bisexual enough or like genderqueer enough or whatever the term might be. So it's really nice to show that like whatever your sexuality or your gender identity, if it's solid, if it's kind of evolving, is really celebrated.
It makes me sad that people would feel that way. Do you feel like this is quite a common problem?
Big time, yeah. I mean, from personal experience, it's taken me a long time to kind of sit with bisexuality really confidently. And obviously within the LGBTQ community, everyone is facing different challenges and barriers within so many aspects of their lives.
Yeah.
But bisexuality's got some really unique ones, because I know lots of people. It was UK Bi Pride last weekend, which was amazing.
The first one ever, right?
I think there was one
ago,
but
telling
let's
lies
just
again.
No, don't worry. It's because someone called me out for saying it was the first one ever, and I was like,
sorry.
Better fact check myself. But that was amazing, and it really highlighted a lot of the challenges that we face.
Yeah.
Because there's prejudice that we can experience from the straight community and as well as from gay communities as well, which it's a bit sticky to chat about, but it is real.
It's absolutely true, and I think it's it runs rampant within the LGBT plus community. I think sometimes it's more from gay people kind of discriminating against bisexual people. There's so much, you know, bi erasure, people saying it doesn't exist, and so much of that comes from the gay community, and I don't really know why that is. It's worrying, really.
Yeah, I've had people that I was seeing kind of question my sexuality when I'm like, babe, we're like fucking all the time. What do I need to prove to you that I enjoy having
more
sex
can
with
I do?
You? I'm like, literally, we are in bed. My head is in between your legs. Like, I don't know what else I can do to prove this. So yeah, it's just one of those elements that I've felt a real connection to the people who like chat to me and follow me on Instagram. That's one of the things that everyone is really wanting more knowledge of, and we don't talk about enough.
I think with things like bisexuality and also kind of sometimes like non-binary identities and things, is that it can be more of a sliding scale of where you fit in. I had a non-binary friend who came out as non-binary and was really proud about doing that, but then they felt this enormous pressure from everybody to always kind of be presenting themselves in a certain way when sometimes they wouldn't want to. They might just want to present as male or female that day, and they wouldn't want to present themselves themselves as more androgynous. So they got a lot of people then almost criticizing them, saying, oh, I thought you were non-binary. You're not being very non-binary today. And it's like, that's not how it works.
Well, I have to be non-binary for you.
Yeah.
That's completely beside the point. And also, it's just, there's so much fucking admin around all this stuff.
Yes.
Like, it's really hard work to be visibly not, like, the norm. And you have to defend yourself in kind of like active and inactive ways all the time. And I completely empathize with the people who just want to feel like they can slot in and they're not going to be flagged up by anyone on like a day or any day, really.
Because we're all different and we're all unique and
fucking weirdos.
We're all weirdos. We absolutely are. I love that. I want to talk more about your event. So the porn event, that's next week. Where is that happening?
It's at the book club, which is in Shoreditch.
Okay.
And there are still some tickets. So if you go on Eventbrite, it's called Ruby Rare's Guide to Porn. It's going to be really good fun, I promise.
And what can, without any like spoilers or ruining the show, like what can we expect from such an event?
So it's me talking about porn for a while. It's kind of, a lot of it is my personal experiences with porn, but really like rooting that in insight into the industry and what's happened with the industry over the last like 20, 30 years.
Yeah.
Because the porn that we consume now and the porn industry that we're used to is so new. It's like only just over 10 years old. And thinking about the impact that that has. And when I've done these kind of talks before, they've tended to fit around some of the like negative aspects of porn.
Yeah.
And that is a really important thing to talk about. But I don't know why. It's coming up to Brexit. Everything's miserable. It's getting colder. I really wanted this to be a joyous celebration of porn.
Yeah.
And me giving some insights and tips into how to get the most out of your porn consumption and your porn habits.
I love that. I think it's really important to talk about the positive sides of porn as well, because I think a lot of the time we do dwell on the negatives of porn, and there are problems in the porn industry. And, you know, we've even had, you know, people on the show before where we've talked about how porn can a lot of the time be very anti-feminist. But at the same time, there is all this amazing porn that isn't that way. Like Erica Lust, one of my favorite producers of porn ever. I don't know if you know of her work.
Yeah, she's great.
But it's incredibly inclusive. It's incredibly diverse. And it, you know, it puts women at the center, and I love stuff like that, and I think we should be talking about it more, because it's really, really important. Like, porn isn't evil. I just think sometimes, and I emphasis on sometimes, there are just a few issues within the industry.
Yeah, there can be issues with the industry and also with like how it's perceived.
Yeah.
And so much of that has to do with technology, because porn evolves with tech. Well, you could kind of argue tech evolves with porn, because porn has been like at the forefront of all of this. Sort of VHSs were kind of designed so that people could buy and take home porn.
Yeah.
When like the internet first came around in the 90s, like it was all these little porn sites that kind of made the most of it first of all.
So I love that.
Oh God, I'm such a nerd when it comes to porn. It's really embarrassing. So I've had to like, I have to be good and like not talk for 4 hours. I have to be really wary of how much I say.
Sure.
But I think for everyone who is able to, which means that they're over 18 and they have the finances to be able to invest in it, the one thing I want people to take away from this is to start thinking and acting on paying for your porn.
Because you're supporting the right kind of porn, etc.
Because you're supporting the makers that you like and respect. And it's not really about what kind of porn you're watching. It's about everything that's going on behind the screen.
Yeah.
If you are conscious about what you're watching and the makers are conscious of what they're creating, it can be like really, in some people's eyes, like super filthy. It can kind of be playing on really like sexist tropes, and that fantasy world can be something that is contained and really interesting to look at. But it's around like the welfare of the performers, where like how they're getting paid, how they're getting treated, how consent is being handled. And unless you're paying for what you're like consuming, you don't really have any control over that. And unless all of us, like the privileged people who can afford to pay for porn, start doing it, the industry won't really change. Like, there's
absolutely,
it's not going to change from the insides, and I think it's like up to us to do it, because all of us watch porn.
It's so true and it's so valid, and I'm going to put my hands up and say right now that I do not currently pay for any porn, and I haven't for a very long time. But I actually agree with what you're saying. It's almost making me question whether I should be, and I feel like I probably should be.
I'm a half and half gal.
Okay.
Like, have you heard of Four Chambers?
No, I have not.
Oh, they're so amazing.
Tell me more.
So, Four Chambers, it is helped by the fact that the person who like makes all of the content for Four Chambers, Vex, I think is maybe one of the most attractive people in the entire world.
Okay, that helps.
If she hears this, I'll be mortified and pleased at the same time. So, yeah, she is an independent porn maker, and her stuff's really like art housey and gritty and weird and dark, and it's nice because it just feels... It's sometimes with like paid porn and feminist porn, it sort of feels like it's where are my words? What am I trying to say? It's sort of like rose petals scattered on the bed, and like
okay.
It's sex, but like it's kind of delicate, and it's not too.
And
like,
that's not necessarily what you want from porn.
And like, there's nothing wrong with wanting something that's more hardcore.
Yeah,
but just done in interesting and different ways. So I think Four Chambers does that so well. And I love watching their stuff. But also, when I am consuming stuff that's not paid, what I tend to do the most is Literotica.
Ooh,
have you heard of that?
I mean, no. I mean, I could guess, but no, go on.
I've been going on this website, Literotica. It looks like it has not been updated since like 2001.
Okay,
it's
I love
so
it.
So impossible to navigate. But I've been going on there since I was maybe 14 years old. And it's just my favorite place in the whole world. It's like loads of users. It's like a community space. So loads of people upload erotic stories, and they're all in different categories. And then they also do audio porn.
Oh,
so,
wow.
Like, so you pop your headphones on and you've kind of like got someone else in your brain like telling you a story or telling you what to do. And sometimes I go on there just because they're so funny. Like me and my partner a while ago found an audio porn clip that was like four really sexy sounding women, and they were doing a role play. It was for a guy. So you just imagine this guy sat at home with headphones on, and the role play is these four women who are like medieval maids, like maidens, who are sort of like bathing and then seducing a knight who's just come back from battle.
Oh, okay, yeah, I'm on board.
I'm
yeah.
into that. It was amazing.
That sounds great.
It's so silly, and you know, they've got like little sound effects and they're trying to make a whole story. It's kind
I
of like
it.
The way that you sat like here. I don't know, you know, the Archers always has those like weird sound effects things. It's kind of like that, but porn. But it gives it so much character. And so for the first 10 minutes, we were just like listening to it and cracking up.
And then
it kind of changed gears.
It.
And I was like, ooh, wait a second. I like this.
I need to go and watch this. I need to go listen to this in private
no,
now.
No, I was with my partner. We just turned
oh, okay.
Out.
That's fine. I think all of this raises like a really important point about porn. And that is that we don't talk about it enough. So like if I, you know, watch an amazing movie that I absolutely love, the first thing I do is I text my friends. And I'm like, oh my God, go and watch this movie or a Netflix series, or like even like you try a new food and you love
like
it.
That amazing song you just played.
Exactly. Like, you know, we talk about these things and we share them all the time. But with porn, we don't seem to do that very much. And I've done it a few times where I've been like, oh my God, this like video was amazing. I'm going to send this to my friends because I think he'll love that. And like most of my friends are like, that's a bit weird. Like, why are you sending that? But I don't know why I wish we did talk about it a little bit more and start sharing, you know, what we like and what we love. Because you've just told me about that and I want to go and check that out now. And I just wish we were having more conversations.
Totally. I think if you are the kind of person in your friendship group who is having these conversations in their own mind or listening to this and being like, oh, I would so want to do that, I think it really is up to you to start that conversation within your friendship group, because then you'll quickly know. Some people just won't want to talk about this, and that's absolutely fine. Sex positivity does not mean you have to be the most extreme and doing all this crazy stuff and talking about porn all the time. But if you can find the people that you do that with, it really helps eradicating shame or that like post-wank guilt that so many of us get. Like when the porn's still running, but you've come and you're like, oh God, my eyes.
Turn it off, close the laptop lid.
Like we've all been there. Yeah. We don't have to be there. I sound like I'm kind of like a porn guru who's like, I've solved every problem. The post-wank guilt still happens to me sometimes. But now if I'm watching something that's quite... that where I'm sort of I've come and then I'm quite surprised that I'm watching it, I sort of challenge myself to keep watching for a little bit longer and then
ooh.
And to kind of not laugh at it, but just laugh at myself in this situation in like a joyous way. Be like, well, this is crazy, like how did you end up here rather than kind of like not even acknowledging it within yourself. Because it's right, I would love people to be like sending links to friends, but you kind of have to do that
with yourself
before.
First. I'm going to do that the next time. I'm going to watch it for an extra 5 minutes, and I'm going to challenge our lovely listeners to do the same. I think I like that. It's a fun little challenge. I would definitely love to listen to you talk about porn for, was it an hour?
Maybe more.
So remind us again where it's happening and where people can get tickets.
So it's at the Book Club, which is in Shoreditch. It's on the 19th of September, which is a Thursday, and it starts at 7. Tickets are on the Book Club website, or you can find them on Eventbrite or my Instagram page. And they're £10. So come along. It's going to be really fun.
Fantastic. Sounds like a great way to spend £10. I think it's time for a little bit of music, and then we're going to play some fun games and things.
Fab.
So this is a bit of Charlie XCX and Troye Sivan. Lying on the bathroom floor. My tears, what am I doing this for? Ooh, yeah, yeah. You ain't gonna knock on my door. You made it clear that you moved on. You don't really care anymore. Ooh, yeah, yeah. I guess we were a little too young. I was a little too froggy. We were a little too dumb. I was a little too wild, yeah. Now you ain't coming on home. I can't tell you I'm sorry.
You're the only love that I know. Any other hands that touch me, let my body go cold. Ooh, yeah, yeah. That's why my heart sounds so. You have no idea what you mean to me. I don't wanna leave you alone. Ooh, yeah, yeah. I guess we were a little too young. I was a little too froggy. We were a little too dumb. I was a little too wild, yeah. I ain't coming no home. I can't tell you I'm sorry.
You got bad things to do, but I've been trying to move on. I'm failing terribly at that too. You're the only one I want. I can't stand the fact that's you. So I figured one last call can't hurt more than this. So, hello, how you doing? I was wondering if there's something I could do to make you. I could do to make you.
La la la, love me. Ooh, la 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 la, love me.
Are you ready for a game, Ruby?
Yes, please.
This game is called Porn or Not Porn.
And I'm so excited.
It's a personal favourite. We love Porn or Not Porn here at FUBAR Radio. So in this game, I have a whole bunch of sound bites in front of me. Some of these have been taken from porn and some of these have not been taken from porn.
I'm literally so excited. It's like Christmas for me.
We're going to work together to figure these out. But we always do a theme. And we figured because you are a sex educator that we would go for a teacher theme.
Love it.
We all love a sexy teacher.
Love a sexy teacher.
I think we should just dive right in and play this lovely game. Okay, so you ready for our first clip?
Yes.
Okay, here we go. First one.
I can open it up.
Oh, that was
so small.
That was quick and small, and it was over far too fast.
So said open it up, right?
Let's go. Is that what was said? Okay, let's try again. Let's go.
I can open it up.
Oh, it's very fast.
I think that's porn.
Okay, walk me through why.
I think the kind of frantic energy of that voice. You know, if you're kind of if you're having sex and then you need to change, like you need to, like your phone's ringing, you need to put it away or something, or you need to say something, you kind of
start
to lose your mind and don't know fully how to put a sentence together. I don't know, maybe that's just me.
That makes sense. I like that logic. But they're saying I can open it up, so what would they be saying in porn? Like
maybe a fleshlight.
Oh, like taking the lid off?
Maybe. I don't know. I really went in strong at the beginning that it was porn, and now you're questioning me. I'm like, oh God.
Well, it could be like lube. Maybe like somebody's struggling to open the lube, and she's like, oh, I could open it up.
Yeah, that could be it. It's a nice suggestion.
Or on the Let's Play Devil's Advocate, if it was to be a teacher, what would? I feel like it's not. I think it sounds porny, and I don't know why.
But I feel it.
Should we have it one more time?
Yes.
Okay.
I can open it up.
Yeah.
I think it's porn.
Oh, wait, no. I recognise that voice. Hang on, one more time.
I can open it up.
I think that is Ariel Scarsella.
No.
It's probably not, but it might well be. It sounds like her. And she does sex education, so I think that could be possible.
Okay. I mean, can I just say, this is a tricky... theme that you've picked, because actually sex education and teaching and teacher porn, it's all the same language. So I've got a bone to pick with you.
we weren't going to make it easy for you, yeah, were
okay,
we?
Okay, fine. All right, let's say that it's not porn then.
I'm really sorry if I've got this wrong for us, though.
I trust you.
I really feel like I recognise that voice. Okay, we're going to say, against Ruby's better judgement, that this is not porn. It is not porn. And it is LGBT YouTuber Ariel. Yes, it's Ariel. It is.
Oh, well, I knew it. That's amazing.
It's Ariel talking about her vagina and educating us on it. I'm so proud of myself.
Well done.
For recognizing my friend's voice.
In like such a tiny class.
After
as well.
Three listens, though, I didn't hear it at first.
So, like, second tier best friends, not.
Yeah. We'll say that. Oh, I'm proud of myself.
Well,
we're a team, so it's a victory for both of us.
Yeah, I'm proud of myself for trusting you.
Yeah, let's say that. All right, let's do the next one.
What are you doing under the desk?
Oh, come on, that's got porn. I'm going to think all of these are porn.
Or it could be like a comedy movie where it's like he's a teacher. Like, what are you doing under the desk?
What are you doing under the desk? Let's hear it again, because I think it's about the tone of his voice with that.
Like, is there a cheeky hint of
if
something
there's a, like,
there?
You've been a bad girl kind of vibe
okay.
to it.
Yeah, okay.
What are you doing under the desk?
It could go either way, but I'm starting to lean a bit more towards porn.
It's not as sexy, though, is it?
But I feel like some of those, like, opening scenes in porn often aren't that sexy, and they are often kind of, like, tacky, cheesy, over the top.
A lot of the time, they're not scripted. So they're
really?
Just like, off you go. I mean, different studios, but for a lot of the like mainstream stuff you see on tube sites, they'll have like a vague idea what's happening, and then they'll just be like, yeah, here you go.
Just three minutes, go
improv.
I would love to see more like porn where they really play out a story properly and like have amazing actors and things like that. I would love a bit more of that. And I know there is some out there that's been made and it's really good, but like I feel like it's a rarity.
That would be great. One thing that really, we're going off topic for a second.
It's okay, we're allowed.
We'll come back.
It's what we do here. We never stay on topic.
I'm not a big fan of 50 Shades of Grey anyway.
Me neither.
However, they missed such a trick, because there were millions of people reading that and really horny. They should have put all of the money, the same budget that they did put into like the massive Hollywood franchise, into making an
porn.
Actually like a really high-end great porn film.
You are so right.
It would have done so well.
You're so right. They really missed a trick there.
Yeah. And they could have, I mean, now we're entering like Ruby's fantasy where like all porn is accepted and like so visible globally. But like if they'd either used actors who didn't do porn who were like trying that for the first time, or really finding an amazing performer who's worked in porn but who's like really honed crafts with acting skills,
it would just
be amazing.
It would be amazing. I feel like it would do so much kind of like social good as well for something like that to happen. Yeah, they really did miss a trick. Yeah,
I'm going to go back in time and make that happen one day.
I forgot what we're doing.
I
can't remember
under
what the
desk.
Clip was.
Should we just say it's porn?
Let's just say it's porn. Yes, we are. Wait, I want it one more time.
What are you doing under the desk?
Yes, porn. Final answer. It is porn.
Yay.
This is taken from Innocent High. A cute redhead schoolgirl fucks the pervy teacher. In this scene, the schoolgirl is found masturbating, or self-love, did we call it? Self-sex? What did you
think in this context, it's masturbating.
Underneath the teacher's desk. Well done. We're two for two.
Which logically, if you're going to have a wank at school, probably not the place to do it. But I could see how this was a helpful trope to get things going.
Look, we love a risky wank, and where's more risky than under the teacher's desk?
Agreed.
All right, let's move on to our next one, number three.
It's the female reproductive organ.
Pardon? What? Pardon?
Let's hear it again.
That was very loud.
That's a lot.
It's the female reproductive organ.
Oh, this is a female reproductive organ.
Okay.
But it sounded very distorted.
Quite echoey.
Quite echoey.
So, if they're talking about a female reproductive organ in porn, that I have some questions. Because the female reproductive organ is what's on the inside.
Yes, this
so
is true.
I don't know how you're getting there in porn.
But again, it could just be like a cheesy sex education to start off the porn.
Okay.
And then it goes down that route again. Like, this could be our intro.
Oh, what? And then it goes...
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because I could see that being a really cheesy start to a really bad porno.
And if the sound quality is bad, maybe it is porn.
That's an indication that it could be porn.
We're or like it might just not be. Right now.
Let's have it again. It's going to hurt my ears. It's so loud.
It's the female reproductive organ.
It's the echoiness. It's really throwing me off. I don't know what that is.
I could say either way right now.
It could go either way.
I think I want to say porn just because I want to know more about it if it is porn.
Sure. Something's telling me it's porn because...
Okay.
If it wasn't porn, actually, and this was some kind of teacher... Again, I guess it could be like one of those cheesy high school movies or something.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not really sure what else it would be. Like, it doesn't sound like a serious lecture or anything.
Let's hope not. Oh, we're just like really burning someone's like talk
shit,
they've had spent ages working on.
So are we saying it's porn?
Let's say porn.
Yeah, okay. We are saying that this one is indeed porn. It is!
Yay!
This is taken from a video named Hot Teacher Uses BBC to Demonstrate Sex Ed. In this scene, the kid forgets their sex ed textbook, so the teacher gives them a live demonstration of the vagina and what it can do.
Okay.
Look at us being sleuths.
I'm going to pay loads more attention to the beginning of porn from now on.
I know, right? I love these little stories.
Yeah.
All right, let's do our next. We're three for three.
So we're doing really well.
I'm really proud of us. Okay, next one.
Good morning, students. My name is Miss Saini. I'll be your substitute teacher for the day.
That's 100% porn.
I think some kind of movie is what...
Because it's had some music behind it. I'm going straight in for porn and then you're kind of reading me back again. I'm just so enthusiastic for them to all be porn.
Porn.
Porn, porn, porn. Okay, but substitute teacher is... That it sounds like that's going somewhere porny.
It does, and she knows exactly what she's doing. She's whether this is porn or not, she's playing up to the like sexy teacher role 100%.
Yep.
100%.
I've been in classrooms before where, and I have not been playing up to it at all. That is important to stress, where I've been talking about sex and suddenly got the feeling that people are kind of looking at me in that sort of sexy substitute teacher way because I'm like, I just go in and I'm talking about sex for an hour and then I go off and live the rest of my life, and that's always a really weird thing, and I have to be I have to really nip that in the bud quickly and be like, no, that's not what we're here for. I am not that person. This is real life. This is not porn.
Gosh, I don't know how I would handle that situation.
I literally will just look at someone and be like, that's not what I'm here for.
This is not happening.
Yeah,
love that. So do we think porn for this one?
I want to go porn.
Do you want to hear it again? I'm going to play it again.
Yeah.
Good morning, students. My name is Miss Saini. I'll be your substitute teacher for the day.
And what's dropping there? I kind of feel like she's going to bend down and get a pencil or something.
I do. But I also feel like, have you seen like Bad Teacher with like Cameron Diaz? Obviously, that's not Cameron Diaz's voice, but I'm getting that kind of vibe as well.
Okay.
But I'm willing to go with you and I'm willing to say porn. I think it probably is porn.
I think let's go porn.
Okay, we are saying that this one is porn.
No!
It is not porn! No! We're doing so well. This is from a funny video all about the different types of substitute teachers you get in school. This one portrayed is the hot one.
Okay.
Oh, so it's like a YouTube video or something.
So it's a parody of the sexy porny teacher.
See, they're tricky. They don't make this
tricky.
Easy. It's not an easy game. All right, our last one. Let's redeem ourselves. I think we can get 4 out of 5. I do.
4 out of 5 is very respectable.
It's very respectable. I mean, we've had guests come on and get 0, so.
I'm an overachiever.
All right, our final one is...
You have a little crush on me?
Porn.
That's very
like
porny.
Porn is very porny.
I can visualise what that scene is already.
Tell me what you're visualising.
I think she's a brunette.
Yeah, I think she's a brunette.
I think everyone is white because that is most porn, unless it's fetishized.
Oh my God, it's so true. So bad.
People talk about the sexism stuff, but actually, like, the stuff to do with, like, race, ethnicity is as pressing and as worrying.
I was watching, like, a gangbang scene on Bellamy once, and it was, like, 50 white men, and I was like, really? Like they're all white. Like,
yeah.
Every last one of them.
There's a really amazing series called Crash Pad, which is like it's been around for ages. It's on Pink Label, which is a great like ethical porn site. If people want to go onto it, it caters to like all sexualities. It's amazing.
Oh.
And that series is great because it has people from like who have, it's really, really diverse performers, but they're never really sexualized because of the diversity aspect. So it's not because it's like, oh God, you're not white or you're like you have a disability or whatever it might be. And that's really lovely to see because it just gets really boring when you're like, oh God, okay, yes, you can be sexy and be in porn and be, for example, like Eastern Asian, but why does that automatically mean that you're put in a box? It's
just
boring.
Absolutely. What was that website again?
Pink Label.
Very good. This one, I think we're both leaning towards porn again,
this
aren't we?
This is porn.
If it's not porn,
I think I might leave.
Let's have it one more time.
You have a little crush on me?
Yeah, it has to be.
It has to be.
We are saying that the final one is indeed porn.
No!
It is not porn! In this film, a hot teacher seduces a very young boy and flirts up a storm with him in the classroom.
I mean, that's gross anyway.
Well, I don't like very young boy. That makes me feel a bit uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I think young boy would have sufficed.
Even young boy is not great.
It's
a bit
weird.
If you've got a teacher and someone they're teaching, it's not good, Callum.
No,
let me just confirm that. None of this is cool.
It's not okay. We're just clarifying that right now on the radio. We got 3 right and 2 wrong. I feel like that's still a good effort.
Okay.
That is one of the better scores.
I'm going to argue that those last 2 were very misleading.
Well, that's the point of the game. All right, I think it's time for some music. Let's go. I just wanna go back to 1999. Take a ride to my old neighborhood. I just wanna go back. So hit me, baby, one more time. Wanna go back, wanna go. Yeah, I just wanna go back. Nike, ass, all that. CD, old Mercedes. Drive around listening to Shady like, oh. Never under pressure. Oh. Those days it was so much better. Oh. Feeling cool in my youth, relaxing. No money, no problem. It was
know those days are over, but a boy can fantasize about JTT on MTV. When I close my eyes, and I'm right there, right there, and he's right there, right there. I'm right there, right there.
I wanna go.
I thought we'd do something new this week.
Okay.
In front of me, I've got a load of sex myths, and this isn't a game. We're not competing here. I just want to talk about some of these sex myths because they're things that come up time and time again. I think they're things that often come up in. It's kind of like you hear these things in the playground, and then they stick with you through adult life. And the amount of things I've heard friends and things say to me over the years, and it's amazing what people believe that just isn't true.
Yeah.
So I thought we'd just go through a few of these and see what we think. And I think with some of them, there's not necessarily a right or wrong answer, but it's let's just discuss. So the first one is, if you have big feet, you have a big penis. What do you think about that?
I mean, my first thought was, what about the women who have big feet? Like, they secretly
not
got
all
massive
people
dicks.
Who have feet have
big feet
penises.
Have penises, actually, Callum. I think gender is fluid.
I think this one's so interesting because I think there's so many of these. It's like there's one about like your the distance between your index finger and your thumb, and like half of the length of your wrist and stuff like this. And it's basically it's not true. There may be like some correlations and things, but like I'm sure there are somebody out there with like size 6 feet and like a 12-inch dick.
Yeah, I don't think it has anything to do with other parts of your body. And even if it has some small thing to do with it, I think it's really unhealthy to put that expectation on people. Because imagine if you're growing up, like I don't have a penis, so I can't talk about this from personal experience. But I'd imagine if I was a teenager and like I had a massive growth spurt and had massive feet, it would put a weird expectation on me if everyone was kind of suggesting that that's then what my penis looked like. And then I went home at night and was like, but it's not.
It doesn't.
Oh my God. So then I'm going to have sex and people will know that my penis isn't giant. Like that seems so unfair and like so unnecessary to put that pressure on someone.
Absolutely. I completely agree. But it's all rubbish essentially. So don't take it to heart. The next one is, and I think you will have some thoughts on this one. Too much sex will ruin your vagina.
That one actually is true.
My face was just like, pardon? Okay, we need to take this off air.
That's not true. That's so not true. I was once in a school doing a sex ed lesson with some young girls, and they said this, and I was like, okay, so like how many, they were saying like the number of people you have sex with makes you loose. I'm doing little commery things. And I was like, okay, so how many people is too many people? And they all sort of like had a little private chat on their own, and they were like, five is too many. And then your vagina gets loose. I was like, okay, well, I need to talk to you about some things because I'm fine, and I passed five a long time ago.
We're well past five.
The vagina is a muscle, so if you like, it changes over time if you have children, all that kind of stuff, but like it's literally elastic, and it changes when people get aroused. It like changes in size hugely. And also, why is a vagina being bigger a bad thing? Like if you had, like,
that's a good point. Yeah,
you know, maybe then you'd be able to fit a fist in it, and that's kind of cool. That's great.
That'd be next party trick winner. What's the issue here? But no, I completely agree with you, and I feel like again, it's one of those myths that is bandied around a lot. This one I need to shut down immediately. Two condoms are safer than one. This one, like, it hurts my feelings.
It really makes me sad, this.
It's not only is it not safer, but it completely, it almost, it's like not wearing a condom at all. Yeah. It's like so unsafe to do it that way. They don't work like that.
The friction from both of them means it is like so much more likely for both of them to tear. It's a terrible idea. But in a weird way, I can see the logic, especially from teenagers, of being like,
yeah,
I've heard all this negative stuff about STIs and I don't want to get pregnant and all this stuff, so I'm going to be like extra safe. I can see why people think it. It's just ridiculous.
It almost feels like common sense that it would be safer, but yeah, it's not. But it's absolutely definitely not. I just want to make that really clear.
Yeah, let's not do that. One condom used well is all you need.
Yes. I've got another one here, and I'm not actually sure if this one is true or not. I'm guessing it's not. And that's men think about sex every 7 seconds. I've heard this a lot. I was going to say I've not thought about sex in the past 7 seconds. That's not true. That's all we're talking about.
It's been continuous.
But I'm positive that I don't think about sex every 7 seconds.
I highly doubt that. Because, I mean, first of all, how is that being researched? Like, how do we get... I'm not a scientist.
I don't know.
Are you. We're not going to crack this right now. But, like, why... When... At what point do we figure that out?
Yeah.
And even if that is the case, for some people, that's not... You can't use a blanket statement like that for half the population. That's not how it works. And also, say that was true, all the studies that have come out over the last, like, few decades really indicate that female and male sexualities do have lots of similarities as well. So if that was true, I wouldn't be surprised if the female one was really similar
exactly
as well.
Exactly the same, yeah. I think it also kind of like, it's a little bit othering of like asexual people, for instance, yep, you know, because if you're asexual, then you're not going to be thinking about sex unless you were thinking about it in a very logical kind of way. And that wouldn't make sense either. And it's that kind of, this applies to every single person. It's never true. Well, almost never true with anything.
Yeah, I think so. And it just creates a weird, like, you know, What if you're having a really stressful day? What if you're like hanging out with your kids? You're probably not thinking about sex right now.
No, absolutely not.
Okay.
That would be weird.
We don't need to be thinking about sex all the time.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, education is so important, I think, is the bottom line here, because I think a lot of these things are, they're passed around and people genuinely believe them. And I mean, that's the amazing work that you're doing, is helping.
Thanks, babe.
Let people know the truth about all of this. We are going to be reacting to our lovely listeners' sex confessions very, very shortly. But before we do that, let's have a little bit more music.
Wasted on your love, wasted on the things you don't remember about yourself. The way you turn me on, it's easy to forget. I love the ways you scare me too, yeah.
So before we jump into sex confessions, I understand that you describe yourself as a bisexual, non-monogamous vegan lady.
I used to say non-monogamous vegan stereotype, and then I changed it.
I love that. I love that. Can we talk a little bit about being non-monogamous? Because I think it's something we don't talk about very often.
Yeah, of course.
And I think we might have some listeners who are intrigued. So tell me a little bit about being non-monogamous. I know that's a huge question.
Well, yeah. So I am non-monogamous. I have been for 4 years now, and that has taken many different forms in that time. Right now I have a lovely partner, and we, if you just looked at us, kind of if you saw it how like my family or friends would see us, like we look like quite a conventional monogamous couple. But we're open with everyone in our lives about the fact that we are open, and so we date people separately and we also date people together, and it's just a lovely other element of our relationship. And because both of us are very busy humans, I can't really commit to anything more than like meeting new people and making like really lovely friendships, and then there being like sexual and romantic elements to them.
Yeah.
But at some point I might go back to wanting more than one romantic and sexual partner, and that's really nice as well. It's cool to be in love with more than one person at once.
Absolutely. And I absolutely love that, and I want an open relationship myself, and it's something that I've talked about a lot online. And one thing that I've noticed, and I don't know if you get this as well, is that there's a lot of people out there who do not want to accept that at all, and they are really against anything that sits outside of a monogamous relationship. Is that something that you find as well?
Yeah, I think it definitely is the case, and it's accepted in some circles a lot more. So I think in queer environments a lot of the time,
yes,
people are more open for these discussions, because you know we've had to create our sexual identities. It's not been as visible in a similar way that non-monogamous people,
the rule book is thrown out.
Yeah, and that's fun because it means we get to create our own rules.
Absolutely.
But yeah, I definitely get a lot of pushback. When I had a catastrophic ending of two intense relationships in a month of like, it was a lovely, wonderful time, but both things ended quite badly, and I had to really reevaluate the way I looked at polyamory and non-monogamy.
Oh, interesting.
And when I got back into a relationship, it was really interesting because all of my friends who are monogamous just presumed, relating to kind of queerness, just presumed that I tried that out for a bit and it wasn't for me, and that I was just going to go back to being monogamous. It was funny because it was almost like coming out. I had to say to so many people, like, no, I'm serious about this. I really enjoy it. And yes, that didn't work well, but I have hopes that this one might, and I'm on a kind of evolving journey with what this looks like.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I wish we could talk about this all day. We're going to have to invite
another
you back
time
and do a show specifically dedicated to this, because I have so many questions. I'm sure my lovely listeners do as well.
My partner can come on and we can share all our secrets.
That would be amazing. Please come and air your dirty laundry. Or no, I don't like dirty laundry. Your fabulous
sparkly laundry.
Yeah, there we go. I think we probably have time for a couple of sex confessions. So let's dive right in. I'm going to take this one. Whilst on a date and after lunch, we both went to the loo. He held my junks whilst I peed and then blew me. Oh, I like that. That's oddly
cute.
Romantic, isn't it? I've held a guy while he's peed before, and they've done the same to me. And it's like, I feel like romantic. I know that sounds bizarre, but it's like cutesy.
I think that's really cute.
It's like, oh, I'm just going to hold that for you while you pee. And I think a lot of people would be like, oh, that's gross or whatever. But like, it's lovely.
That's cute. I'm now on a mission to do that. I've not done that before.
Have you never done that?
I'm determined to now.
I feel like you should. I feel like it's a certain level of intimate. Because I have a shy bladder as well. So if I'm able to pee in front of another person, especially with them holding it for me,
that's like next level.
That shows trust right there. So any future boys I might be dating, that's when we get to that level, you know you're in somewhere special. You know you're
and
in a
also,
good place.
And also, like, when you put someone's penis in your mouth versus when you hold it when someone's peeing, like, when we actually think about them, they're all like, they're not really that different in terms of how intimate you're being. If anything, like, oral sex is way more intimate than like holding someone.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely. But people don't think about it that way for some reason, which is,
I think that's adorable.
I think it's adorable too. I love that. Thanks for sharing that with us. That's one of my favorite confessions anyone's ever sent in. That's made me really happy. Would you read this one for me?
Sure. How do I know if a gay guy will want to sleep with me even though I'm trans?
That's tricky. I mean, obviously it's a conversation you need to have with them, but when you have that conversation, I think that's absolutely up to you. I think there's a lot of people out there who will say you need to disclose your transness to the person you're dating immediately, and I personally don't agree with that. I think you should share that with them when you're ready.
Yeah.
But I don't have a simple answer of, you know, how do you figure that out? It's a difficult one.
It also depends how you're meeting these people, because if you are meeting them on apps, it might be easier. I've got trans friends who have chosen to just have that on their dating apps
because it
means that anyone who's going to be an asshole about it is just not going to get involved. And if you're clear about the way that you communicate, so be like, I'm trans, it's not something I want to talk about loads on here. So again, to kind of indicate to people how you want to communicate about it.
Absolutely.
But if you're meeting someone in real life, I'm not really sure. It also depends what you enjoy doing in terms of sex. Like, if that involves your body being touched in certain ways, you might want to have that conversation with someone before, just so that you don't find yourself in a situation where someone's surprised.
Yeah, absolutely.
During sex, because just for you and your well-being, that might be a little bit alarming. But I think it's just really up to the situation and how you are feeling in your safety.
Absolutely. That's really, really incredible advice. You can tell,
so.
You,
it's
you
a tough
tell
one,
that
though,
this is your job.
I'm like, let's be really diplomatic, but also just like have a nice time.
Have a lovely time. That brings us right up to the end of the show. I feel like everyone needs to come and see your show next Thursday.
Yes, please.
And I think everyone should come and follow you on social media as well. Where can they do that?
Yeah, so on Instagram, I am Ruby Rare. I dance around in my pants all the time. It's a great time. Come and join.
Amazing. Well, you've been an amazing guest.
Thanks
and
for having me.
We absolutely need to get you back to talk about polyamory and things.
I
need
am
you
so
here.
Down. Let's do it.
Okay, it's committed. We're getting it in the diary.
Okay,
see you later.
Bye. Would you love me less if you know the places that I've been? If you know the damage that I did? Would you love me less? No, no, no. Told my heart to come clean. Closets full of skeletons that you don't wanna see. Rejudge me, I'm ugly. I won't blame you if you do. No lies, don't wanna keep no secrets. Even if what I'ma say I'll leave you speechless. No secrets. If I introduce you to my demons, tell me baby, would you like?
You've been listening to a FUBAR Radio podcast. For more information, go to FUBARradio.com.